Your United States Air Force presents Big Moments in Sports. December 5th, 1947, Madison Square Garden, New York. Joe Louis almost beaten in boxing's biggest upset.
This is Harry Wismer bringing you a big moment in sports history. What you are about to hear is a dramatic recreated account of a never-to-be-forgotten sporting event at the peak of its power-packed action. It's a story that has been and will be retold as long as people talk about sports. But first, before we turn back the clock, here is Bill Reddick with a message from the United States Air Force.
Are you a service veteran? Then listen carefully. This message is for you. You may be qualified to enlist in the United States Air Force in a grade that will surprise you. If you possess one of the critical skills needed to keep America's air defense strong, the Air Force offers you an opportunity to put those skills to work to your best advantage, and at a higher grade and higher pay than you may realize. The Air Force needs experience and know-how gained in all the armed forces. And now, thanks to the new Career Incentive Act of 1955, you can put your service gained skills to work to your best advantage by returning to the armed services as a member of the Air Force team. Write or visit your Air Force recruiter for the special prior serviceman's folder. It will give you full details on the advantage of returning to the service as an airman. You'll see why, today and tomorrow, you're better off in the United States Air Force. And now back to Harry Wismer.
Ask anyone who saw Joe Louis win a split decision over Jersey's Joe Walcott at Madison Square Garden, and they'll tell you that Christmas came 20 days early for the Brown Bomber. This premature visit by Santa Claus came in the guise of two ringside boxing judges, Frank Forbes and Marty Monroe. It was their votes that nullified referee Ruby Goldstein's decision, favoring Walcott, and enabled Louis to retain the heavyweight championship. To the nearly 18,000 fans, there appeared no doubt that Walcott, known as the Cinderella Man, because of his great comeback, had decisively whipped the mighty Brown Bomber. But hardships and setbacks were nothing new to this aged challenger. The life of Jersey Joe Walcott is a study in perseverance. It is one that parallels any rags-to-riches saga. Walcott had to wait 20 years after his first recorded professional fight before he won the world's heavyweight title by knocking out Izzard Charles in Pittsburgh in July 1951. Jersey Joe Walcott was born in Merchantville, New Jersey in January of 1914. His real name is Arnold Cream, and he was the eldest of 10 children. Jersey Joe never craved glory as a fighter, but took to the ring only because he thought it offered an opportunity for a strong, agile, and clean living man to make more money than he could on a garbage truck or as a stevedore or a ditch digger. When it failed him, he quit. When he went back to it, his only thought was the welfare of his family. The last time, the specific reason was that there was no coal in the cellar of his humble home. Had Joe been gainfully employed at the time, negotiations for his services would have ended as quickly as they began. For this time, Joe meant his retirement to stick. But he was soon talked out of it when a local sportsman asked him to reopen an abandoned fight club in Camden, New Jersey, and propositioned Joe to return to the ring. "I got to fill that empty bin and keep it filled," Walcott told the sportsman. "If you can help me do that, I'll give it one more try." It was filled the next morning, and it was never empty again. Jersey Joe had no more trouble getting matches. He ran up such an impressive string of victories that he soon became the idol of the boxing fraternity of South Jersey and Philadelphia. Walcott was on his way up, but two straight losses in 1946 to Joey Maxim and Elmer Ray stopped this upward climb momentarily. In return bouts, he whipped both boys and earned himself a match with the champion, Joe Louis. However, there was one hitch. The 20th Century Sporting Club decided to make the Louis-Walcott bout a 10-round exhibition. At this point, the New York State Athletic Commission intervened. Eddie Egan, the chairman, refused to sanction an exhibition bout involving a world's champion. He would approve a title fight between Louis and Walcott, but nothing less. On the surface, this suggestion looked ridiculous. Jersey Joe had lost his last bout in the Garden to Elmer Ray. He was 33 years old, and what's more, he was the father of six children. Louis was also 33, but he was a fighter apart from all others. Undetected at the time was the slowing down of Louis's reflexes. That December night in 1947, when the ring announcer introduced the contestants, Walcott weighed 194 and a half and Lewis 211. The jam-packed garden got its first thrill right at the start. Walcott, showing utter disdain for the champion, walked right across the ring from his corner, sparred a bit, and knocked Lewis down with a crashing right to the head. The champion was up immediately, but there was a bewildered look on his usually unexpressive face. Here was one man, at least, who wasn't going to run away, as so many others had done against Lewis in this very same ring. Jersey Joe shuffled in, inching his way to within arm's length of Lewis's chin. He kept moving his head, making the champion fearful of what punch he was to throw next. Then Jersey Joe delivered some more solid rights and lefts to the head, and Lewis staggered backward as if hurt. The crowd from ringside to gallery top was amazed that anyone would have the gumption to treat the champion in such a shabby manner. At the sound of the bell in the second round, Lewis rushed out of his corner, trying desperately to make up what ground he lost in the opening round. Walcott, however, calmly stepped off to the right, sticking a left jab into the champion's face, keeping Lewis off balance and scoring enough to win the round. The big thrill came in the fourth round. Walcott smashed a hard right to Joe's chin. He hit the canvas flat on his back. He rolled over on his stomach at four, looked to his corner for advice. At seven, he was up and ready to face the challenger. The crowd was in an uproar. They kept yelling for Walcott to walk in. But strangely, Walcott went on the defensive and never did press his advantage. He fell into a clinch with the champion without a blow struck. He seemed content just standing by and trying to outpoint the brown bomber. Lewis had his best round in the ninth after his corner kept pleading with him to punch more often. He jarred Walcott with some of his old-time rights, opening a small cut under the challenger's left eye. One of the hardest blows of the fight, a left hook, almost floored Walcott in the 11th. But Jersey Joe fought back to the surprise of all and stunned Lewis with a hard left to the head. Lewis's left eye by now was shut tight, and his face was puffed twice its original size. Walcott was again outboxing the champion in the 13th when a powerful Lewis left sent Jersey Joe back on his heels and sprawling to the canvas. And when he got up without a count, he ran into a solid left and right combination. But the bell rang shortly thereafter. Everyone around the ringside started to check their own scorecards. They just couldn't believe what they were seeing. Was it an upset in the making? In the 14th, Walcott just stayed out of trouble. Now, before Big Moments in Sports brings you in detail the thrilling blow-by-blow account of the 15th and final round of the first Lewis-Walcott fight, here is Bill Reddick with a message of interest to all young men who want to go places faster.
A career in the sports world is just like any other job. To be successful, you have to start young and learn the ropes fast. Well, men, if you're between 17 and 34 years of age, here's your opportunity to go places faster. Get in on the ground floor of jet aviation by becoming an airman in the United States Air Force. If you qualify, you'll receive the finest technical training from top experts, men who've been in jet aviation from its beginnings. You'll train for such specialized subjects as radar, mechanics, rocket propulsion. You'll receive valuable experience and work with the latest jet planes. You'll see a whole new world open up and discover the thrill of wearing the uniform of the greatest young man's team in the country, Air Force Blue. So act now to ensure your future and your country's future in jet aviation. See your nearest Air Force recruiter right away. Madison Square Garden, New York, December 1947. Joe Lewis almost beaten in big upset.
There's the bell, and both Lewis and Walcott move out towards the center of the ring. They touch gloves for this 15th and final round over the outstretched arms of referee Ruby Goldstein. Both fighters move around, neither landing a blow here in the early seconds of the round. Lewis looks like anything but the champion that he is as Walcott shoots a left jab to the brown bomber's eye. Walcott takes a left to the body thrown by Lewis, and they fall into a clinch. They are broken apart by the referee. Jersey Joe looks very tired. This is the first time in his long career that he's had to go the distance of 15 rounds. Since the 11th, Walcott has been content to keep out of the way of anything Lewis might throw without doing any countering in return. Lewis keeps moving, and he can't land a solid punch as Walcott keeps dancing away, backing up, just flicking out with his left hand that does no damage at all. Lewis's corner keeps yelling at Joe to keep punching. Now Lewis has Walcott backed into the corner at the far side of the ring and lands a right and a left to Walcott's midsection, and Jersey Joe falls into a clinch. Referee Goldstein comes in to separate them, A minute and a half has gone by, and Lewis had better start something soon if he wants to retain his title. Now Walcott shuffles in towards the brown bomber and whips over two light left jabs to Joe's face, and then dances away before Lewis can counter with anything of his own. Lewis moves in quickly now and sends a long right hand to Walcott's ribs, and Walcott is on the move again. His corner has just yelled up to him to keep moving and keep his hands up. The crowd now begins to yell for Lewis to press the fight. They seem to feel that Walcott is just in there to last the round. Lewis has the challenger pinned against the ropes in his own corner and lets go with a solid right that catches Walcott right on the button and staggers him. Jersey Joe has been hurt. He's looking to his corner now.